No one ever said program management was easy, especially in aerospace and defense. If it was, the Defense Department wouldn't be dealing with persistent cost and schedule overruns decade after decade. But a new analysis by Deloitte finds that the rate of cost overruns has declined quite a bit. For why and how to sustain it, Robin Leinberger, a Deloitte consulting principal. Robin, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be back.
This study found that cost overruns still occur, but at a much lower rate than they used to. Give us some of the details.
Yeah, that's what the latest report on the major defense acquisition programs from the GAO demonstrates, that over the last several years, that the rate of change both in cost and schedule overruns has declined pretty much to historical lows.
And why is that? Do we know, or what's your theory?
Yeah, I think there's two elements to it. First is that the implementation of many of the program management reforms, as well as acquisition reforms that have been talked about over the last several years, is starting to have an impact. Being able to deal with first creating better cost estimates at the beginning, because obviously if you have the wrong cost estimate, everything else is measured relative to that. So tightening that up has had an impact. The approaches that GAO recommended throughout the life cycle, what they call a knowledge-based approach, has also begun to be adopted, although not fully, which still represents an opportunity. Those that have are starting to demonstrate that by better understanding the maturity of the program at that stage in its life cycle, prior to moving to the next stage, is saving cost and schedule as they move through the program.
The idea of knowledge, develop that idea a little bit.
Sure. So here's an example is as you're moving from the requirements development phase into the technology assessment and risk management phase, as you see the frequency of requirements changes starting to abate and get smaller, that data can be indicative of now the requirements are mature. And until the requirements are mature, you don't want to move to the next phase until they're stabilized, so that you're not having to then go backwards, reevaluate the requirements, and move forward again. Similarly, moving from development into production, do you have the production line established under statistical process control? In other words, it can produce the level of quality you want at the rate you want prior to going into production, so that you're not finding issues while you're trying to produce the vehicles. Hence, you don't have to stop, go back, and otherwise modify the production line in order to meet where you want, which is always more costly than, as we always say, getting it done right the first time.
So these are really old lessons in many ways, is do your homework up front and then work the plan that you have planned carefully.
I think you're right. Those would be, you would look at those recommendations and what they've done and said, didn't we know this? And I think that speaks to discipline in the process, urgency to move through the program, so that the pressures that are placed on the acquisition agents and the program managers to get the program through the life cycle, get the products fielded, is certainly there. It's important, but it can be counterproductive if we don't let the program managers and empower them to move through the cycle at the pace they think it's appropriate, so that we don't end up, in fact, taking longer and costing more.
Now, the DOD is looking ahead to the third offset strategy that they have been talking about, these DIUX situations going on throughout the country. There's a new bomber under development. There's more autonomous systems coming, if you believe what they think is the future, to get to that offset. So it seems like these skills are going to be really critically super important to keep that downward trend in overruns as they look at some of these new untested or untried technologies.
Tom, you're right. And you know, one of the underlying things we haven't spoken about here, the challenge is technical complexity. So that as these platforms have been developed over time, you have a couple of new things if you look at a very long arc. One is the software complexity in our weapons systems is unprecedented. So we have two things really going on now. You have the physical platform itself, the hardware, which using advanced materials, trying to go to stealth technology, you know, operating at speeds that we you know, dreamed of in the past, combined with the kinds of things you talked about, the artificial intelligence, the autonomy, which drives software complexity. And then trying to bring those two together is creating a major challenge. So while many of the things we talked about sound simple, requirements, definition, production readiness, those the complexity of those isn't standing still. So as we learn how to do it and as we get better at it, we're almost chasing a moving target in the sense that it's hard what our defense acquisition leadership is trying to do is really hard, and it takes continual vigilance to try to keep up with how fast the technical complexity of these new platforms are.
We're speaking with Robin Leinberger, a principal at Deloitte Consulting, and this report implies, it doesn't state explicitly, but I think it's probably fair to say that contractors have a big part in this whole thing because they're the ones responding to the requirements and then fulfilling them.
That's correct. They definitely are. And not only we have multiple contractors on the very large programs, so as the programs get bigger, it gets more complex. Contractors have particularly the primes, have a more difficult job managing all the components, managing all the subcontractors as these programs get bigger and more complex. The contractors can't move through the life cycle until the defense acquisition agents allow them to or tell them to. So it really is at the program management level that many of these things can be done.
And you mentioned earlier technical changes, engineering changes, redos along the program always drive things up in cost and out in schedule. How can a program manager know when a change really is called for versus one that could be deemed as nice to have, but let's let it go because we don't want to affect the overall program?
Yes, I think you have to start with what is the mission offset that you're trying to create and what are the key components of that? And then assessing the risk associated with each of the key components to attain that offset strategy. And I love engineers, but that's what they do. They engineer. And so the program manager has to be very adroit at separating what is, I can make this improvement a little bit better versus when is good enough so that you can move forward. And the other is having the discipline to hold that change, finish the baseline, and then go and incorporate in the next version. And what we tend to do too often is hold the baseline open, adding requirements. We can never get the first set of either prototypes or production out in the field, learn from that, and then incorporate those changes in an iterative fashion later.
Do you think the future requirements are such that the ability of DoD to adapt commercial technologies to the military mission is slipping away? I'm thinking of the new tanker, which is really slow in coming and way behind schedule, but that was based on an existing airframe. Everything else seems to be invented out of whole cloth that they're doing in the future. Is it possible, do you think, to adapt commercial to military in the future?
Well, I think when we've seen that cycle over decades, we've seen that cycle back and forth. When is industry driving innovation and create adaptable product? And when is a need from government, whether it be the space program or stealth fighters, from a composite material standpoint, when their need drives it. So we tend to see it cycle back and forth. But what's becoming pretty clear is in the areas you talked about, autonomous type activity, that's really being driven out in the industry and is something that can clearly be adapted, that one example, into defense programs. So I think the answer is yes. We can definitely, with what's going on in commercial, adapt those, and very likely more in the software side than perhaps on the hardware side.
But ultimately, that's not something DoD can control, but what it can control is its own people's approach and knowledge and way of going about program management.
Yes. And there's one other thing, on one of the earlier questions I'd like to add on here, is that whilst the cost and schedule overruns have come down, I think we're cautiously optimistic rather than being fully optimistic that continue for one reason, which is if you look at the number of programs and the maturity of the programs in the DoD portfolio, many more programs, the maturity, the average age, so to speak, of the programs is much older than it has been in the past. So that as we've been through sequestration, Budget Control Act, fewer programs are being approved. So we have the fewest in the portfolio that we've ever had, and they're fairly aged. They're well along. What that means is they're well along in their life cycle, and so they've suffered their issues. They're in the back ends of the programs in a way that they're now much more stabilized and understood. Whereas the programs that have come in recently, there are fewer of them, and they're much less mature. So I think that we have to be cautiously optimistic and watch those programs that have fewer of them that, in fact, have entered more recently. As they get into the mid stages and latter stages of the life cycle, Can we manage them so they don't experience the same kind of challenges that the programs that went before them have had?
Robin Leinberger is a principal at Deloitte Consulting. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to the report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.